Hi there, this is Kendra Adachi, and I host the Lazy Genius Podcast. And I need to make sure that you have heard about the new KFC chicken nuggets. You have never had nuggets like these before, 100% white meat and hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. KFC has been a family favorite for years, and now we can get all of the delicious KFC flavor we love in one amazing chicken nugget. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I'm John R. Bray.
And I am Heather B. Hamilton.
Changing it up.
Heather B. Armstrong here.
Heather B. Armstrong, Hamilton, hither.
Come hither, Heather Armstrong.
that doesn't have the same ring. Today, we're actually not going to talk about last names. We could probably talk more about names. But we're going to kind of do a semi-information download / discussion of issues while raising children. Just the general issues that come up like 46 times a day.
The general issues of being in a situation like ours where children are having to deal with specific emotions that are generated from the circumstances of our situations. For instance, my children will be spending almost seven weeks of their summer away from home. And what that does, you know, the idea of that for them and what that does and in terms of how they cope with life. And yeah, am I being cryptic enough?
Well, just the issues that arise as a result of having to be that age and divide time, whether it's across country or a different house or
having
whatever.
To be that age and they only see their father on FaceTime every now and then. Being that age and knowing that their father is living 2,500 miles away with two other children.
Or being at that age and knowing that his mom took time off work to do something other than spend time with him.
Exactly.
Just like as an example.
Exactly. These issues.
Because it's kind of a lot to process. And I think we've talked about this before, like some of these issues we can't really process. The why behind it. But as an adult, you're kind of able to get past that anyway, like recognize that you just can't understand it. But for a kid, it's different. They want to understand it, whether they want to consciously or not.
They want to understand it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Lita asks me questions a lot. I have to be as diplomatic as I possibly can be, given, you know, that... I'm just going to laugh.
Sometimes it's just really damn hard, honestly.
Like last night, I'll just use this as an example. My internet went out last night. I use Comcast, and Comcast has been, I've had phone service with Comcast as well. I have tried, and I thought I was successful. Like I've done it probably 17 times. I have taken John Armstrong's name off of the account. But I think if you do call and a voicemail picks up, it says like John Armstrong. I have attempted to have his name and number removed from my Comcast account again and again and again and again. I've gone online and done it. I've talked to 7 different Comcast agents on the phone about it. And yesterday, the internet was out. I called Comcast. They said that there was an outage. Would I like a text or a phone call when it came back up? And I said, please call this number. And I gave them my cell phone number. And they said that the outage should be fixed by 7:30, and 8 o'clock rolls around and I don't see anything. So I call Comcast again. Lita and I are approaching the hour where we watch Felicity together. It's a very, you know, important part of our day because we get to talk about some sort of issue in life, and she loves the show and she loves that time with me. And if we don't have the internet, we don't have TV. So I call Comcast and he says, well, it shows that the internet is back up. Let's take a look at your modem. And so I unplugged the modem and plugged it back in. And I said, weren't you guys supposed to call me when it got fixed? And he said, well, it shows here that we did. And I said, well, what number did you call? What number did they call?
Did they seriously call him and tell him that it was back up?
Uh-huh.
Did he answer?
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But it would have been nice if he had been called or texted to have said something to me. The guy on the phone said, we called and left a message.
So even if he didn't answer, he could have probably guessed what it was for. I mean, honestly, it doesn't make sense that they can't just remove it.
I have tried, and I honestly, I'm sure his name is still on there. Even though the guy last night removed it, he said, I'm removing it right now. I'm like, uh-huh, you guys are going to call him again the next time my internet goes down. Yeah.
Totally a different scenario. Like, I have changed Lexton's address with his school probably 5 or 6 times over the last 2 years, and they keep sending shit to somewhere that none of us live anymore.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know. I've even like gone in person and written it down. Like, this is where we live. They don't do it. I don't know why. I don't know what else to do. Thankfully, we know the people that live, like, we're able to get the mail, but it is beyond me.
I even said to the guy on the phone last night, because he's being a really nice agent. I said, you know, if he would just text me and let me know, like, I'm sure he's probably angry thinking that I haven't had his name removed. Like, he could probably be very upset about that. When I have tried and tried and tried and tried again and again and again, I don't want his name on my Comcast account. But if he could at least just text me and say, hey, Comcast called me or texted me, and I've got a message here that your internet is back up. Just want to let you know. Can you have my name removed? Like, any sort of like gesture like that would be really, really, really appreciated. But no.
It's asking a lot, really.
Yes. So.
You'd think it would be preferable for him to just not have to deal with it. So to tell you would actually help.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it would take an extra 3 seconds now, but then it won't ever happen again.
Well, except that Comcast is not gonna remove his name. No.
But at least then, you know, you would be able to say, I've tried to change it. I'll try again. And that way, if it happens again, mm-hmm. then he's theoretically aware.
No, it was actually, like, I think he was so mad about it. It was one of the things in our second mediation. Like, he brought it up in that mediation. And that's how serious I was about getting it done, was he wanted his name removed from all the accounts, which was fine with me. When you have an account like with AT&T and with Comcast, and at the time with DirecTV, these contracts were so old, and I had been with them for so long under the name John Armstrong, him being the lead, because John handled all the bills. That was his, you know, role in the business. So his name was on every single bill. So in our second mediation, he was like, he wants his name removed from everything. And I was like, that's great. I am trying. Like, I have tried.
I mean, there's a lot of shit.
Yeah, there's a lot. But like Comcast, I for some reason can't get his name off of it. It's one of those frustrating sort of things you run up against in these situations where, yep, he said, we called this, you know, 80171. And I was like, yep, that's my ex. I said to the guy on the phone, he's like, oh, okay. It's one of those awkward conversations with a Comcast agent. He goes, and he said to me, he said, you think he could just at least text you and let you know?
He said that?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that, yes, you would think so.
But, you know, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they didn't call him. Maybe he didn't get a text. Maybe he didn't get a voicemail.
So we'll call that a minor one until the internet goes down again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that would be the key. If it happens a lot and he gets called a lot, then maybe.
They called him. I know this. They called him when they were showing up to install it in my house when I moved into the house. Because 2 days later, he called me and said, oh, by the way, Comcast left a message that they were installing something. This is 2 days after.
Like, after they've already been there.
Yes.
Well, you know, maybe they were late. My Comcast guys are never on time.
And I just want to say, this is all I want to say is, I'm sorry that I can't get your name removed from this account. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I can't. It's not my fault. I've tried so hard.
That's our Comcast tangent.
That is our ex-wife Comcast tangent.
That's right. I haven't dealt with that. I do routinely get emails from her bank that she's made deposits.
No.
They don't show actually any worthwhile, like, it's not money. It's just this account ending in these 4 digits. Here's deposit activity. Like, generally speaking, there have been deposits. You need to log in because we shared accounts. And then I got new accounts and she kept the old ones. I have told her a dozen times, like, I can't see the money, but I keep getting these emails like multiple every week. And I don't want them. but I can't do anything about it because it's not my account. So it's kind of the reverse situation. I am letting her know, and it is still happening.
Yeah, she needs to take care of that, or at least try to take care of that, right?
Something. I mean, it's not like it's sensitive information. I know the last four digits of those accounts because they were my accounts, and I can't see the money. So it's not any like privacy thing. I just don't want them.
Yeah, you don't want that notification. You just don't want that.
I just don't need it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you don't need that in your life. I understand that. I understand that he doesn't want to get called when my internet goes down or goes back up. I understand that completely. I understand that frustration. I do. Totally. 100%.
But you're trying and they're not.
I'm trying.
They're not really working with you.
There is some glitch in that system that keeps his name on that wants John Armstrong's name on my Comcast account.
Divorce is forever.
Divorce with
Comcast
children
is trying to help.
Is forever.
Yeah, there's no escaping it. But how is that like 6 week, 7 week trip weighing on Lita and Marlo? I mean, Lita has a camp, so she's kind of excited.
Lita is going to 6 weeks of camp. She's so excited. She could not be more excited. I couldn't be more excited for her. What's really great about that camp, by the way, is that there is no phone, there is no tablet, there is no device for 6 weeks. She has to basically use her brain in her hands in ways that don't involve a computer. I think it's awesome.
So she can't call home at all?
She can call home. When it was 3 weeks, there was one day that she could be on the phone. So probably there will be 2 days where she can talk on the phone.
Like they have a phone that all the kids can use?
Yes.
Like they,
okay. Mm-hmm. And if she gets sick, she can call. Like last year, she got a sore throat or something or got a fever, and she was able to call me, and I called him the insurance, and they're good about that. Marlo has been going to weekly therapy sessions with a magnificent, like he's a miracle worker. And she has come so far this year in terms of me being able to drop her off at school. I still walk her to the door, but she will go in the classroom. She doesn't cry. She doesn't cling to me. She's come really, really, really far. And then in the last month and a half, she has just been losing her mind when confronted with any sort of hard task. The main two hard tasks in her life are math and piano. I may have mentioned that I have hired a teenager to come every Saturday to help Marlo through her lesson on Saturday so that when I practice with Marlo the rest of the week, Marlo has at least gotten through the songs and understands what she's doing, because there's only so much that I can. She and I are like kryptonite to each other when she's doing that.
Has that helped, like the teenager?
It has. It had helped tremendously. So she was a lifesaver, because I would sit down with Marlo and Marlo wasn't losing her mind. But in the last month and a half, we sit down to practice piano, and it literally is the worst 30 minutes of the day. She is tortured. She's tortured by it. Just physically, the pain, like the physical pain of it, she's wringing her, she's squeezing her hands, and she's like tearing at her hair, and she is pounding the keys. And I looked at her and I was like, we don't have to do this. I don't want this for your life. I don't want this for my life. I don't want to put you through this if you don't want to do this. And she cries even harder and says, but I love piano. But she just doesn't want to do, running up against the hard part of it is so frustrating to her. And the same thing goes with math, where when she's introduced to a concept, that concept initially is so frustrating for her that the physical pain of it is expressed outwardly. And it just happened in the last month and a half, and I talked to her therapist about it, and he said, well, when have you figured out your summer plans? And I said, yes. And he said, when did you figure that out? And I said, the last month and a half. And he goes, huh, Heather.
That's his response.
Oh, like, wow. How many therapists in my life have been like, huh, Heather? He said, why don't we, next time she comes in, why don't we explore her feelings about, you know, what she's going to be doing? And because there is a, sorry that I'm talking a lot, but this has been sort of all consuming this last week and a half. Lita is very protective of her sister, and not in a bad way. She is the best older sister that ever lived. She loves that kid. she takes the abuse, you know, she listens to the craziness, and she just takes up for the kid and listens to her stories, and she's so good with her. And not only will Marlo be away from me for 7 weeks, she's going to be away from Lita. And I am trying not to show anxiety about that in front of Marlo because I don't want Marlo to feel it. But oh, fucking hell, do I have anxiety about the fact that she will not be with Lita for 6 weeks.
Well, that's every piece of her, I mean, every piece of her foundation, her normal everyday routine foundation will be gone because she'll be out of your house. You will not be there and Lita will not be there. Not that she doesn't love her father. Like, that's not the issue here at all, but every part of her day to day will be gone.
Every part of it, yes.
That's huge.
And in New York, she sleeps on an air mattress on the floor. And here she's got this, you know, she's got a nice bedroom. She's got her own space. She has her alone time. And there, that's hard to get just from a space issue. And so I have a lot of, I mean, and there's nothing that I can do about it. Like, I could express some concerns and I could say, but once she's out of my hands, you know, it's sort of, gotta give it up to God.
Once they're out of the house, it doesn't really matter what you do or say. Not that sounds, maybe that's too extreme, but that's kind of the truth. Like, what happens there is what happens there, right?
It is. I'm so hyper clued into my kids so that when there's any sort of disruption in the way they're reacting to things, I'm always like, why is she reacting this way when she wasn't reacting this way last week? And sometimes, John, I'm going to be completely honest about this, and we don't really talk too much about poop on this podcast.
Oh, that's about to change.
Sometimes she just needs to take a shit. Seriously. Like, sometimes she just needs to poop, and she's fine. I'm so clued into her mood about things that there was about a month ago, she was just having the worst day ever. I couldn't figure out, like, everything was going wrong, and she wouldn't eat dinner, and she was angry, and she didn't want to read before bed. And then the next morning she got up, and before she even ate breakfast, she's just like, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. And I was like, oh, honey. And she took, I don't care that people are going to get mad at me for talking about my kid taking shits. I don't care. She took literally, I don't know how it fit in her body. I don't know how it fit in her body. Literally like 6 toilet bowls full of shit. And after that, she was just like, she was singing like a bird. She was so happy. She was glorious, and she was like running around kissing Lita and kissing Coco and dancing around as if the world was amazing. And I was like, that is what was wrong with you yesterday. You needed to poop.
But what was like the catalyst for that, though? I mean, is it the anxiety and the stress?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, yeah. So then you've got like the mental challenge of it.
Yeah.
And the physical manifestation of that.
The physical manifestation of that. Yeah.
That's tough.
Well, you know, it's tough. It's tough for anybody in any situation. It's really tough when you're the one who's supposed to remember to put Miralax in her drink every day, and you've forgotten for the past 2 days or the past 3 days. And then you realize, shit, that was my fault.
Right.
Uh-huh. I wasn't on top of that.
It's your fault in the sense that you didn't add it, but again, I go back to what's the root of it?
Yeah.
Is that, and I don't know. I mean, the Miralax is like a Band-Aid. Not that you're doing anything wrong. Not that, like, you're not trying to fix it. But I think if it's rooted in that anxiety, then that's just kind of a temporary thing anyway.
Well, so let me ask you this question. Like, how does, you guys don't have to split up Lexton during the summer, do you? Well, no, you have to take care of him the entire time.
Yeah, pretty much the entire time. There have been some different plans tossed around, but...
So how is he doing with Robert?
I think it's kind of the same as it's always been, where it's... Robert is kind of like a peer, a friend his age. Like, that's the relationship, that's the dynamic that they have. Which, after 2 years, seems a little strange, but it is what it is. I mean, I've never been a step step parent. I'm not gonna judge, but I, for just numerous different reasons, I'm not a huge fan of them being together with just them, like just Lexton and Robert. So that obviously creates a challenge, and it's something that I can't really prevent. I mean,
right.
Again, if he's there and that's what happens, then that's what happens.
And so let's explore that for a second. So why are you uncomfortable with it?
I guess because I don't... Oh, wow.
Don't be diplomatic about it.
I don't understand how he can be a functioning adult without a driver's license, a car, or a job.
Okay.
That is beyond my comprehension. And that makes me not really trust him as a good role model, as someone who I mean, even if I look at Summer and Lexton is over there and Heather's at work and something happens, he doesn't have a car. Like, not that I sit around every day and just worry about everything, but
he doesn't have a car.
He does, like, that to me is just, you just have a car. Like, I don't care if it's a nice car. You don't need to have an amazing car, just a car. There are enough things about him. And admittedly, I don't know a lot about him. And I've had this, I can actually really call it a discussion because we've had this conversation without it getting terribly nasty, where I don't know him well enough to really like establish a full picture, but every piece about him that I do know is not good, and nothing has changed that. So it's kind of hard for me to be okay with that, because, you know, that's, I've talked to Heather about Summer and what we're going to do, because it's basically he's with me the whole time, but I work and that's a challenge. And she said, well, maybe he can come over and have days with Robert. I'm like, yeah, but I don't know.
You kind of want a basic level of problem-solving skills in place.
Yes. I want to feel like the person that he's spending time with can handle issues if they arise.
Right.
And I don't think that's the case. Even outside of the transportation, I think what would happen is something would come up and he would immediately call Heather, which is fine. But I'm about 15 minutes closer than she is. And her job is not exactly easy to answer the phone. So that's if she answers. So then let's say he's with Robert and something happens and he calls her and she doesn't answer. So then what?
Would he call you?
Hell no. There's no, God no. I don't know what he would do, honestly.
Okay, well, that's scary then.
He has my number. I mean, I have his number on my phone.
Okay, like, this is actually a very scary scenario.
It is. That's why I'm not a big fan of it. Again, maybe there are things about him that are great, but I just... God, I'd give someone the benefit of the doubt. But all of the things I know are not. And nothing has, I've taken, at least on three separate occasions, I have told Heather, even emailed her just so that it was like something that would just stay there and simmer for a while, that the three of us, you know, her and Robert and I, need to sit down and figure this stuff out and talk about it. It's never happened. And I'm not going to keep pushing it because I don't have the time to do that. But it's not that it will just never happen and all of a sudden one day I'm going to say, oh, you know what? I'm fine with it now. That won't happen.
Right.
So from Lexton's perspective, it's fine. It's not good or bad. It just is. He's there. They do things together. And, you know, I've told him repeatedly, like, you're allowed to have fun with him. Like, I don't think one way or the other. Like, I hope you have a great time over there. You know, I have taken the high road with him. Oh my God, every single time. And it's super challenging. But it just, the way that I have always put it to people is, if all of a sudden tomorrow Robert was gone, it would take Lexton like 3 days to get over that. And those would be an easy 3 days. Like, I don't think that he adds enough value in his life for it to be significant. I tried to keep that as diplomatic as possible.
You did a really, really good job, actually. I was letting you get it all out in your diplomatic way. Of getting it all out to say, I'm fucking scared shitless of my child being over there because this person doesn't have techniques in order to solve a problem.
And I wish he did. At this point, like, that would be so damn helpful if he did. I mean, if he worked from home and we could swap days a couple times a week, or if he worked a shift that allowed him to have Lexton over there for, it would be great if it worked out where he could be over there and I could feel comfortable with it. But the reality is that that's just not the situation. Right. And I don't really want Lexton over there for an entire day.
No, I totally understand. It's a valid, valid concern.
I mean, who doesn't have a car?
He doesn't have a car.
How do you not have a car?
Oh, because they share one? Is that what they're doing? They share the car? Oh, he doesn't have a driver's license?
Fairly confident that he still does not have a license.
Okay. Whoa. Yeah.
So maybe they share a car. That's her call. If he drives and it doesn't, that doesn't matter. But even if they share a car, she's gone all day.
But you don't want your child being driven by someone who doesn't have a valid driver's license.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all.
No. Wow.
Hey, babe, what you got there?
This is a check from Carvana. I just sold my car to them. I went online and Carvana gave me an offer right away. Then they just picked up the car and gave me this.
Oh, that's a big check. Well, obviously you could put this towards your next car, or we could finally get that jacuzzi, or I could start taking tuba lessons, or I could quit my job and write my memoir.
Or I can put it towards my next car with Carvana.
Sorry, your check, not mine.
Sell your car to Carvana. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get a real offer in seconds.
Hi there, this is Kendra Adachi, and I host the Lazy Genius podcast, and I need to make sure that you have heard about the new KFC chicken nuggets. You have never had nuggets like these before, 100% white meat and hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. KFC has been a family favorite for years, and now we can get all of the delicious KFC flavor we love in one amazing chicken nugget. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
I don't have that going on with my kids, you know, at all.
Yeah.
No, I don't have that concern. I mean, Lita and I share a lot of the same traits when it comes to beauty products and clothes. And like, we don't wear, she doesn't wear any makeup. She doesn't want to wear makeup. She wants plain t-shirts. She wants plain pants. She's like, you know, she's like, I love Liz. Liz is amazing. But Liz does want me. She often tries to like get me to buy like pink shirts or things that have a lot of patterns. And like, so my only concern is like, hey, maybe don't push Lita into buying like a flowery blouse.
Right. But you're able to know that if she's at their place in New York alone with just Liz, she can handle
Yeah. I have every confidence. And Liz is an amazing person, and she's loves her children, and I know that she loves my children as well, and I have no concern there at all. No.
See, that would be just awesome.
I know.
That would be nice.
Both of our situations have things where it's like, I envy you and you envy me.
Oh yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's I think part of the challenge too on my end is that it's hard. It has been impossible for me to convey to Heather that it has nothing to do with animosity. And I think I've said this to you before. Like, it sounds really weird, but I don't like him enough to hate him. Like,
right.
He doesn't factor into my life enough for me to put in that energy to dislike him. So it's not that I sit home and think I hate him for all of these things and I don't want Lexton around him. It's just all of these things that are laid out on the table are things where even if none of this relationship stuff had happened, I wouldn't really want to hang out with that person. And I wouldn't want my kid with that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish it wasn't that. I wish this could kind of get resolved and there was some sort of normal state, but it's just not where it's at. And it has nothing to do with any animosity that I have. It's just concern.
It's almost like you have like a, I hate to reduce it to this. It's almost like you have like a door in your house that's like broken and can't get fixed. And you're just like, I gotta go close that door again. I gotta go close that door again. And you have to like, and every person who comes into your house, you're like, no, that door won't close. I gotta go close it again. It's like this bothersome thing that you have to deal with. And you don't hate the door. You don't hate life about the door. You're just like, I have this fucking door that won't close. Excuse me for 1 second while I go close the door.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's, and but it's like that, but someone else has the tools to fix the door, but they won't. And not even to fix it, but just to kind of address it or explain why the door is like that. And I can't,
right. You know,
that I think that's where it's tricky.
Yeah.
And it's, I think there's also a weird dynamic in general, because I think when Lexton is over there and he's around the two of them, it's great. And I want it to be great. And it's fine. And so when Heather sees it, she's like, oh no, they have a really great relationship. They're close. It's awesome. It's this and that. Cool. He doesn't say a damn word about him when he's here. And I have told him several, like, I'll ask him, like, what did you do with Robert? what did you do with mom? Like, to get the conversation. It's just not something he ever brings up. He'll say he's really excited to see mom. He did this with mom. And I think the truth is kind of somewhere in between those two stories, where part of it, he probably doesn't talk about Robert around here because whether he's aware of it or not, he knows that that's kind of a gray area. But I also know that, you can take any pretty happy 13-year-old kid and plop him in a room with some adults, and they're gonna be fine. He's not the kind of kid who's going to sit there and look miserable. He's going to have the best time he can.
Right.
So she sees that one side, and I see this other side, and, it's hard to find the middle ground.
Oh, it's so hard. You want the best for your kids. You do.
Yeah, I mean, in everything, I wish he could go there and have a great time with both of them and be with them independently, and that would be awesome. If for no other reason than just so I didn't have to have that stress. But it's more than that. I want him to have that. Like, that would be great. It's just not how it is. Maybe it will change. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've taken the driver's test, but it's not that hard to pass.
Oh, the driver's test in Utah, you actually get to use the book.
On the test?
Yeah.
It's an open book test?
Yeah.
Oh, my mm-hmm. God. Wow.
Yeah. Whereas in California, it's basically like taking a final exam at Harvard. And they try to fuck with you on that driver's test. I almost failed it. I got a very, very lovely DMV woman who said to me, "Listen, you gotta change that one answer. Otherwise, you're not getting your driver's license."
Are you serious? She told you?
Yeah, because I failed it 4 times in a row. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a hard questions because they're asking you questions that only truck drivers know, right?
Like people who spend a ton of time on the road.
Yeah, like the highway patrol laws. That you had had to like memorize the book, and I knew nothing. I was just guessing. She's like, "You better go back and change that answer." A driver's license would be nice, like a basic bare minimum of a driver's license. How old is this person, by the way?
I don't know. He's somewhere between Heather and I, so 35-ish,
okay.
If I had to guess.
Does he have an identification card?
I have no idea. Maybe. That's a really good question. Not sure. I've never known anyone who doesn't have a license for a positive reason. I mean, and I have friends who live in cities where they don't own cars.
And so this is the thing, is that you have friends in cities who don't own cars and they have a driver's license, right?
Right. I mean, I have friends who've lived in cities without a car for like a decade and have a driver's license because, mm-hmm. and their reason is, why the hell wouldn't I have a driver's license?
Right.
Like, that is my point.
You don't know, and yet you have somebody who doesn't have a driver's license who's probably 35 years old is kind of a step parent to your child.
Right.
That is your living reality. Yes.
The only reasons to not have a driver's license, the list is pretty short. Most of those reasons are not good. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying that that is the case, but if I'm just left to guess, I'm not going to assume it's a good reason because that doesn't seem like the cautious approach to me. So I assume the worst, and that's,
mm-hmm.
So that's kind of an issue, if we're talking about issues.
Issues.
It's been a lingering one.
Our situations are so similar and yet so very, very complex and different. You're facing this with him, right? You have this step figure in your son's life who doesn't have a driver's license and has no means of transport if something were to happen, were he with your child alone. You're facing a summer where you have to figure out how you're going to work while your son is at home in your care. Like, you're staring that in the face. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, where I have to decide how I'm going to work while also knowing that, if she's going to push for it to go in another direction, then I have to kind of replan and figure out how that's going to look.
And then I am in a situation where the step figure to my children is lovely and I don't have to worry about that at all. Although, the father of my children lives 2,500 miles away. I don't have that pair of hands that could step in like you have Heather in an emergency.
Right.
And I'm facing a summer of being away from them and what that means. My point is that before you take a leap into having children with someone, you need to consider the ramifications for your life.
Forever. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, nothing is ever nothing is cut and dry.
No, I may have mentioned this a couple episodes ago, but I redesigned my site and there are several places on my site that throw up related content from my archives. So I'm going back and I'm reading all of these posts that I've written over the years. And I wrote a post in 2014 about Marlo was sick all night long one night and was not going to school the following day. And Lita got up and got herself ready. Lita said to me, "Why does this morning feel so different and so easy?" Like, Lita actually said those words to me, and she was only 10 at the time. She's okay. Like, why does this morning seem so easy and so different? And she's like, oh, Marlo wasn't, like, Marlo's been in your bed this whole time. I'm like, yeah, Marlo wasn't in here and fighting me. Marlo wasn't here arguing about pants, arguing about socks, arguing about toothpaste, getting mad at me for brushing her hair. Marlo wasn't in here being awful. And Lita was like, that's right. She's like, there was no struggle. I remember having the very irrational thought, like the second week of Marlo's life, thinking, I've ruined Lita's life. I've burdened her with this sister. And, you know, it was just this moment of this realization, like, these little choices that you make to have another child or to get into a relationship with someone have very, very, very lasting ramifications in your life.
It's kind of impossible to, no matter how many times you tell that to someone, it's so hard to look that far down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Or you think, you know, you look that far down the road and you think, yeah, but we have time to figure that piece out. But you don't. Like, you don't. You have to consider that.
You have to consider it. I think even in the book that I wrote, It Sucked and Then I Cried, I wrote about this romantic thing about John and how our first meeting together was at this diner in Los Angeles. And I looked over a piece of plate of bacon and buttered toast. And I looked into his eyes and realized that I wanted children with the color of his eyes. And I have a child who looks exactly like him, who has his eyes, literally has his eyes. Like, she can't see anything without her glasses.
Right.
She is blind as a bat without those glasses. And I was teaching her how to do something the other day. I'm not going to go into the details because that would invade her privacy, but I was teaching her how to do something the other day. And she didn't have her glasses on. And I was like, do you need me to hand you your glasses? And she's like, I can do this. And I'm like, you're going to hurt yourself. Do you need your glasses? And so I gave her her glasses. And I had this little moment where I thought, the ramifications, she has his eyes.
Right, you got exactly what you wanted.
I got exactly what I wanted. You know, 2001, I sat there and I manifest that thought.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, you know, it comes down to like the issues with our children. I mean, we're constantly trying to figure out the best way to help them navigate these waters. And for me, I'm so lucky to have access to this therapist with them who knows their history and knows how they get along. And he's even said to me, you know, he said Lita came in to him. Lita went to him for a year before Marlo ever did. And he said, you know, Lita was an open book. She came in and she just opened up and talked about everything and would tell me what was frustrating her and would say, you know, that this had happened. And he said, Marlo is just completely different. He said, it is almost impossible to get her to show the slightest bit of what is going on. But he has somehow. It's working. It's expensive. Because again, my insurance does not cover it.
Right. Mental health doesn't matter.
Mental health doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. But that's an interesting battle. I mean, this issue, even kind of jump back to piano, like, she likes it, but she doesn't like the struggle.
She doesn't like the struggle.
That is life. Like, I get that. But it's a tough hurdle to try and get over. Like, most of the things you're going to find in life that you enjoy are going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, everything has its own element of difficulty, and you're not going to be perfect at everything.
So, my mother, who is far more well-versed and intimate with what goes on our day-to-day lives than anybody else. You know, my mother has said to me, I don't know how you're doing this. I don't know how you're doing this, because she's like, Marlo is your brother. So apparently my brother reacted the same way. Like, when these last few weeks with piano, when she runs, like literally the moment we sit down and she plays a wrong note, she loses her mind. And my mom said my brother would do the same thing. He would throw his body on the ground. He would throw his body against the wall. He would just fall apart when anything was hard or difficult. Where my mentality and my mother's mentality and Lita's mentality is this a challenge? Okay, well, I'm up for it. Let's do this. You know, can I have a baby without any medication? Yep, I'm going to do it. Can I run a marathon without having trained? Let's try and see. Right. And Marlo is just a different kid like that. And I'm going to have to make a decision. Do I stop this? I mean, this is a big, big deal, because if I stop, am I going to regret it? Is she going to regret it? But then I have to weigh, how much misery do we put each other through with this? I don't know. Will she be fine when she comes home? Maybe the anxiety of the idea of leaving for so long, if we extract that, will that change things? I don't know.
Right. And it's hard to say. I mean, it's like, yeah, to pull her out of piano in the short term would definitely make things easier between the two of you,
mm-hmm.
because that is gone. But at the same time, there's that added element where Lita is still in piano. So it's not like if Marlo stops, then piano's out of her life. So she's still going to see, not only is her sister in piano, but her sister's yes. very good at it.
Exactly.
And in part, she's very good because she's years ahead. It's not yes. that Marlo can't ever be good. She's just years ahead. So she can't ever escape it. And I think that that's what will be the most interesting piece of this is, can the therapist and you work with her to see, like, just because it's a struggle doesn't mean it's bad, doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, because it sounds like she still wants to.
We'd had a really, really, really bad practice, and I stopped it because I was like, you're going to hurt yourself by banging your head on the keys. And she just ran downstairs to her room and was crying. And I was like, Lita, it's your turn to practice. Well, you can't escape the piano in this house. I mean, it's so small, and that piano was booming throughout the house. And we were downstairs. I walked downstairs, and I looked at her, and I said, listen to what Lita is playing. And she just looked at me, and I said, she just messed up. She just messed up again. She just messed up again. She just messed up again. All of those were wrong notes. Lita plays wrong notes all the time. It's called practicing. And I felt very motherly. I felt very motherly saying that, you know, and she can intellectually understand that, but emotionally, it's a hurdle, and we'll figure it out at some point.
Yeah. And as soon as you cross that one, there's going to be another one. Because that's how it goes. That's why kids are fun.
Yeah. All those things that people warned you about the teenage years, believe them.
Because you still have to cross your hurdles, and then you got to help them get across theirs, and it's just...
lots of hurdles.
So many hurdles. So really, this was an episode about hurdles more than issues. Just hurdles.
Hurdles.
That are nonstop. Lexton actually tried out track.
I don't know
if I ever mentioned this.
No.
I really pushed it. I encourage... he's just tall and limmy, and he's just missing the coordination piece, but he's built for it. I'm like, just try, give it a shot. So of course, and I don't know why they did this. He goes on hurdle day.
What?
On tryout week. And I'm like, no, there wasn't just hurdles. He said, yeah, that's all we were doing. Well, you didn't have to do hurdles. He's like, no, if you're at practice, you do the hurdles. Okay, how did they go? It's like, well, there were five of them, and I tripped over all of them. Okay.
Oh, no.
That is my experience with hurdles also. I looked right at him. I'm like, hurdles suck. That is a terrible introduction to track. So few people can do them. Like, I really think you should try it one more time. And he looked at me like jaw dropped. He's like, no. Okay. There we go. So
that's
different kind of hurdle, but also
the same. That's a perfect way to end this episode. Oh my gosh, he went on hurdle day?
who introduces a kid to track on hurdles? Like, come on.
That's like me. Like, I didn't watch R-rated movies for like 10 years, and I ended that streak with Pulp Fiction.
Oh my God. Oh wow.
Like, why don't you just ease into it? Don't just go to the hurdle day. What?
Yeah. So I've totally given up hope on that.
Some
hurdles are not worth crossing. That's the moral. You just don't push it.
The end. And done. We would love to hear about your hurdles, your children's hurdles, hurdle day.
Yeah, real life hurdles, whatever.
Real life hurdles. You can reach us at stories@manicramblings.com and anywhere on the internet, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @manicramblings. We're here. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time, be as diplomatic as you possibly fucking can.
High road is narrow, people.
The high road is narrow. Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.